Jesus to pay the penalty of our sin, which are too great for us to pay, and he should not have had to pay, for he was absolutely pure. He was righteous. And yet, because of your great love for us, you provided the way into your and have access to you through Christ our Lord. You provided us with the Holy Spirit to seal us and to strengthen us and to gift us and to empower us to use those gifts. You've put our feet on paths of righteousness. You filled us with the glory of God. You have prepared a place in heaven for us, and soon you're coming to get us. We have every reason today to rejoice. So, God, I pray this morning your glory will fall upon this place. I don't know how we came in every case, but I pray we leave rejoicing that our God does reign. For he reigns in each of our hearts. He guides our paths. He provides for us daily. He's forgiven our sins. He's given us robes of righteousness. And one day soon, this old world is going to be folded up like an old winter garment put away. And one day soon, we're going to see the glory of the Lord in all of your splendor in that kingdom that abides forever. Until then, find us faithful. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, I invite you to open your Bibles with me to the book of Jonah. We're going to take a very, 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 very quick drive-by of one of God's great prophets, an unusual man because of how he approached doing the will of God, and a man who, sadly, really never changed. I wonder if there's anybody here. Don't raise your hands. I'm not going to ask the invitation before I preach. Is there anybody here that's just in a mess? Don't raise your hands. I thought so. Anybody here just say, Pastor, I don't know how it could get much worse, and I said that, and sure enough, it got worse. Anybody here? Anybody here just over have something right out there on the horizon that you say, I have no idea that this is going to, I'm going to be able to get through this, and if I do, I see no way it's going to be better. Anybody here? Now can I add a compounding problem to that problem? Is anybody in that problem because of something stupid you did to cause it? Anybody here say, boy, I was so dumb and so naive, and I did this, and it's going to cost me and my family, and maybe my reputation, could cost my marriage and my business. Anybody here that's done something, not only are you in a mess, you're the cause of the mess you're in. Anybody here? Well, if so, then this is the sermon for you. Because there are people here that say, I'm in a mess, and then can I add one other compound to the compound? Is there anybody here that say, Pastor, I'm in the mess I'm in because I created it, because I did not do what I knew God wanted me to do? Anybody here? I'm not only in a mess, I'm not only a mess I created it because I just did not do what I knew God would have me do, and now I'm in a mess that I created because I rebelled against God. Anybody here? I want you to understand that many of those who are in that shape have been willfully disobedient. In fact, the Bible says that all of us are sinners, and the saddest thing is the sins of God's people are enormous. That's why 2 Chronicles, we don't like to read in its clarity, because it says, if my people will do the repenting. We're always thinking, boy, I sure hope they hear that out there. He said, I'm not writing that for those out there. I'm writing it for us and in here. If my people... When's the last time we had an altar call and God's people were saying, excuse me, I got to get to that kneeling bench? When's the last time? Somebody help me. What Sunday was that recently? When's the last time you came to church and we couldn't get to Sunday school because people said, Pastor, we're not going to be able to dismiss folks who are still broken before God? See, we don't like that verse. It says, if my people, because we're so busy watching those people and that group and those sinners. And he said, wait a minute, you've got a problem here. You have a 2x4 in your eye. Let's get that out, and then you can see better to do eye surgery on the splinter. Anybody here where you are because you've just been disobedient to God? Can I just say, all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God, including the one, and most of all, the one speaking. The Bible says the one who knows to do good and doesn't do it, it's not weakness. It's not a mistake. It's not an oversight. James said the one that knows to do good, anybody here know what they ought to do? Well, yeah, we've been telling others for years what they ought to do. We know. It says if we know what we ought to do and we don't do it, it's not a mistake and it's not weakness. It's not an oversight. It's willful sin. Look with me in Jonah chapter 1 about a man who willfully did not want to do what God told him, and even when he did it, he got mad at God. Bible chapter 1, Jonah chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, the word of the Lord, isn't that good? Some of you are going to come to church today, and I don't mean this ugly, I'm fully capable. Some of you today haven't heard a word I've said because your mind's already on what's God do this afternoon, tomorrow, or what happened yesterday, and your mind is not here, your body's here, but your mind is racing, you're not here. So if the word of the Lord came, it won't come to you, it'll come by you. Some of you will go out in the hall, have coffee, or go to Sunday school, and somebody say, boy, I really heard from the Lord today. You say, well, you know, I wasn't in the right frame of mind. I want you to know how the book of Jonah opens. It's not God's fault Jonah's in the shape he's in. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. The word of the Lord, that word is capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. When you see all caps, that's the word for I am that God gave to Moses. The word of the present tense, I am, I shall be, I ever was, I am is speaking to you. Are you listening? That's the question. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai. Get up. Have you ever noticed you can't sit down and do the will of God? I didn't think you'd notice that. Look here, get up. Look, he said, get up and go. Get up and go. Now, don't miss this preposition because he's going to keep the first part. He's going to get up and go. But this says go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it because their wickedness has confronted me. Oh, my. If the wickedness of Nineveh was before the eyes of God, what must he see in a nation called America? However, Jonah got up. But he didn't get up to go to, he got up to flee from. He got up to flee to Tarshish from the Lord, from the Lord's presence. Anybody here say, I know what God wants me to do, but I'm not going to do it. Anybody here, you just want to start the invitation early? Anybody here, I know what God wants. I hadn't yielded to now. I'm not going to do it today. Anybody here, Jonah? Instead of getting up to go to where God sent him, he says he got up to flee from God's presence. And he went down. Anytime you go from God, you're heading away south. He went down to Joppa, and he found a ship. You can always find a way out, but it doesn't mean God provided it. He found a ship going to Tarshish. By the way, had he gone to Nineveh, that's 600 miles as the crow flies by land. That would have been a little further because we don't travel in straight lines on land, but it's 600 miles to Nineveh if you go as a crow flies. It's 2,200 miles to a port city that was in Spain, the extent of the known world. He would have gone 2,200 miles by ship if he had not been thrown overboard. Anybody here gone the long way around knowing what God wanted you to do the whole time and you've been running, and instead of going 600 miles and doing the job and coming home, you've been running now and 2,200 miles later, you say, I'm tired, I'm bankrupt, I'm bitter, I'm angry, and I don't even want to be here. Any Jonahs in the room? The Bible says he found a ship going to Tarshish and he paid the price. Isn't that true of sin? He paid the fare. Anybody here? He paid the fare and he went down into it to go with them to Tarshish. And it says a second time, in case you miss it the first time, he's not headed toward God's will. He fled from the Lord's presence. Now chapter 3, very quickly, look at verses 1 through 3. Or 1 through 5, chapter 3 of Jonah. And then the word of the Lord, praise God, came to Jonah. Look at this, a second time. Anybody here had a second chance? A third, fourth, fifth, 17th, 2015? How many chances have you had? The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Get up. Same command. I'm going to give you the same opportunity, Jonah. Get up and go to, not from, go to the great city of Nineveh. Preach the message, I tell you. So Jonah got up, and this time he went to Nineveh, according to the Lord's command. Now, Nineveh was extremely large, a great city, very large, 3 days' walk across it. How long would it take to walk from here to the other side of Tulsa? I don't know. But for this to be a biblical city in Old Testament times to take 3 days, if you start this gate, time you got to the opposite gate, it'd be a three-day journey across the city. That is a huge Old Testament city. And actually, Nineveh was a series of cities. The way we have a city in suburbs, there was a series of cities around this mega city. So you had cities to go through to get all the way through what was called the city of Nineveh. 3 days' journey. That's a long way to walk if you're just preaching. Nineveh was extremely great. 3-day journey. Verse 4, Jonah set out on the first day, and he didn't pause and say, well, I can't preach yet. I'm not in the fully in the middle of the city. He started on the first day, and he began to proclaim, 40 days, Nineveh is going to be destroyed or overthrown. And the men of Nineveh believed in God, and they proclaimed a fast and dressed in sackcloth from the greatest, meaning the king, to the lowest pauper. I want to just share two or three things. I'm not going to preach the book of Jonah. We'd be here way past lunchtime. But let me share with you four or five quick principles from those two passages. First of all, the word of the Lord came. Isn't that good? Do you think the world is desperate for a word from God? Boy, we've heard from CNN and Fox and ABC, NBC, CBS, and all kinds of commentators and speculators. When's the last time you heard somebody on the news say, I'm here today to deliver a word from the Lord God of heaven? Do you know when God loves to speak? It's when people are desperate for a word that has truth and eternal substance. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. That'd be a privilege. If any one of us said today, if one of you had come to me and said, Pastor, I got to tell you, I'm not into visions and dreams, and I'm sure not into God speaking to me because I've never heard the voice of God, but I'm telling you, I heard from the Lord this week audibly. Now, I'd first of all question that, but then Jonah, it says, heard from the Lord. How did he hear from him? I assume audibly, because he knew exactly what he wanted him to do. And this isn't one of those times we said, God, I sure we've been wanting to kind of take a little trip down to Nineveh. You going to bless me? That good. See, oftentimes I'd really like to do this. Well, you know, God bless what I'm doing. He didn't want to go to Nineveh. Those were horrible people. They were the original ISIS. In fact, the Syrians went to a village to kill people, Babylonians too, when they went into those areas, they would cut off the heads of the warriors and make a pyramid of heads at the city gate. So don't think ISIS is the original beheading group. They are great-great-grandsons of the good ones. How would you like it if God said, I want you to go down to Mosul, and I want you to tell them to repent and trust the God of the Bible? How many would say, I've been wanting to go? That was Jonah's message, and that was his destination. God showed Jonah favor and spoke to him clearly and gave him a God-sized task, not a Jonah desire fulfilled, but a God-sized task that was against everything he wanted to do ever. Jonah didn't have a desire and use God as justification. God gave Jonah a mission. It was from God, for God, to people God wanted to be saved. He's the only missionary in the world that ever went to a field and said, I hate you people. Wouldn't we feel strange if we had a go celebration and we interviewed a missionary and said, well, I'll tell you right now where I am. I didn't want to go. I can't stand these people. I don't like the culture. When I see them, I hate them. And God sent me anyway, and I've hated every day I'm there. Wouldn't that bless your heart? That's what Jonah would have testified. Didn't want to go in the first place. I think every one of those people ought to be nuked. If they'd had nukes. Jonah said, I think they all ought to die. Sorry, bunch of dogs. We don't feel that way about any group, do we? Altar's open, do we? God called him. It means that if God calls you, now listen to me, if God calls you, it means I'm not sending you out unprepared. If I call you, I'm going to give you my provision and my power, my protection, and by the way, I am with you always. I don't care, God, I ain't going. I don't want to do that. Anybody here? I'm so tired of coming to church and hearing about doing this or this, and I am not doing that. Well, Jonah, just take it up with God. See, we can get real mad. We can get bitter. We get angry. I'm tired of church. I'm tired of preaching. I'm tired of all that talk about sin. I don't talk about those people that really are doing bad things. Well, if we know to do good and don't do it, who's doing the bad things? Why did it get so quiet? If my people, why is the world in a mess? Because darkness is dark. That's profound. Why does he say the world gets dark when we take our light and hide it, what, under a bushel? Or when we try to hide a city on a hill that all the night lights glisten in the nighttime, you say, you can't hide a city. Too many lights. Jonah heard the word of the Lord. If any one of us had that privilege, we'd say, boy, God favored me. Jonah said, I don't want to hear that. He didn't want to hear. Now, this gets really ugly, right? It gets really ugly. So you may want to clip your nails or something. I'll get back with you in a minute. See, it's going to get ugly. Y'all ready? You don't look ready, so I'm going to deliver it anyway. Here it is. He didn't want to hear it. Now, I knew that offends you. Oh, how I love Jesus. Do we? When the word of the Lord came and said, I got a group of people that are lost and I need just one person to be boots on the ground, go tell them to repent. Well, I'm not your man. I don't want to hear that. I came to hear how to be affirmed. I came to hear how to get a blessing. I want to be rich in earthly treasures. I want God's favor. He said, will you be obedient? No. Well, you see, there are people don't want to hear from God. And sadly, it's not them out there. It's us in here. We are overweight from grazing at the table of God's goodness, and we have very little exercise in doing what we've heard. I told you it's going to get ugly. Jonah got the word. He wasn't confused if it was from God. He wasn't confused what God wanted. He just said, I ain't going to do it. I don't want to hear from God. That's not the message I came to listen to. He couldn't say, I don't know who spoke to me. He knew. I don't know what God wanted. He knew. I don't know when he wants me to go. He knew. I don't know where it is. He knew. I don't know why it is. He knew. So he couldn't stand before God and say, I'm totally ignorant. You say you told me to do something. I didn't know that. Is there anybody in this room that does not know we have a commission from the Lord God that once we get our hearts right in salvation, we're to be either missionaries or those who are involved in constant evangelism, or else we ourselves are a mission field? Anybody here that doesn't know that? That's what I thought. So then we have to ask the question, am I a Jonah who says, I don't want to hear it, and I'm not going to do it, or are we going to be a contrast to Jonah and said, I know exactly what God wants, and God, help me, I'm going to do exactly what he commanded. His choice was like ours. It's very clear, I can either obey God or I can disobey God. Now, by the way, Jonah did do. Did y'all ever have pop quizzes? Yeah, you did. I didn't like them then. It gives me a stomachache to think about them now. I can hear the word, take out a clean sheet of paper, my brow sweats. I'm 66 years old. I was on the dean's list, just didn't want to tell my mama which one. Didn't you just hate a pop quiz? Now, some of y'all were good in school. You say, no, I loved them. Well, we didn't speak to you at recess. We didn't like you. Well, you were not popular. I was dumb as a rock, had friends everywhere. I was blessed. Take out a clean sheet of paper. My teacher, when she'd give me back my test, she just had, it looked like somebody bled on it. Just red all over it. I remember one particular test I got back, and it was so bad, always bad. And I thought, my daddy's going to kill me, and then my mama's going to burn the remains. And the teacher came and said, I got to tell you all, you are the worst group of students I've ever had. Well, thank you, man. We did make a mark. We did. But she said, evidently, this particular set of materials I did so poorly teaching, the highest grade in the room was 50. I'd made 16. There was mercy. She threw them out. I made 18 the next time. I did better. See, Jonah made 66 on his pop quiz. God said, get up. Yes, sir. Go. Yes, sir. He said, go to. No, sir, I'm going from. He made 66. He got the get up part. He got the go part. But God said, I want you to go here. And we said, nope, I'm going to go right here. But it's 600 miles to do the will of God, and you'll get it done and be blessed. I'd rather go 2,200 miles and be outside the will of God and do what I want to do. Anybody here give a travel log testimony? Bible says Jonah found a boat. You know, you can always find a way to get out. Well, God, I'd have gone, but you know, this job, I got this job, and they got me so tied down, I can't do it. Okay, did Jonah have any trouble finding an excuse to get away? No. See, if you're really not trying to do the will of God, any excuse will work. And boy, there's tons of them, aren't there? The Bible says he found a boat. And I think it's interesting. In Jonah chapter 1, it says, and he paid the price. If we had time this morning and started over here and just went around the room and took the time today, said, Lord, we're not even going to go home till we're finished. Anybody here give a testimony? Pastor, right here in my life, I took a wrong turn, and boy, did I pay a price. Anybody here? But right there was an intersection, and I chose poorly, and boy, did I pay the price. Anybody find a boat and pay the fare to get away from God? Did it work? Did you get far from him? Bible says Jonah paid the price and he got away, a long way away. He turned his back on God's presence, but then he found out, like David, where shall I go from your spirit? Where shall I flee, God, from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in the grave and Sheol, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, Jonah, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. Jonah heard from the Lord, but he didn't want to hear from the Lord. Don't let me belabor this, but can I just ask one other time? Anybody here say, I didn't really come to hear from God, preacher. My family's here and we come every Sunday, and real frankly, I hope it's brief today because we got an awful lot to do. I didn't really come seeking the Lord, and if he speaks to me, he's knocking on the wrong door. Is that possible? Is it possible we've made church such a cultural event we've forgotten why we're here? It's become such a routine that we've forgotten the revelation of the Almighty. When's the last time you left and said, boy, did I hear a word from God today to my heart? Maybe that's like that chili. It's been too long. Well, Jonah not only heard from the Lord, but then didn't want to hear from the Lord. His rationale, everybody's got a reason. Well, here's, Brother Nick, I'd do that. God, I'd do that, but right there, Jonah, right there is your boat. Now, I'd do that, but there's your boat. See, when you say I'd do that and put anything thereafter, you're not going to do that. See, I do that means I'm here. I'm going to do that. Period. But we say, no, I'm not going to do that. Here's our song. I have decided to run from Jesus. I have decided to flee from Jesus. I know right now I'll run from Jesus. No turning back, right? No turning back. See, whatever you put in there, I do that, but there's your boat headed the wrong direction. Whatever is at that dock where you say, right here is where I park my carcass and I'm not going further, that's your boat. And that boat doesn't take you to God when he said, here's the direction, go ye in it. The Bible says of Jonah, his rationale was clear why he left God. The Bible says of Nineveh, in fact, in Jonah chapter 1, verse 2, it says it was a great city. Now, great is lots of things. Mega is the Greek word. It's a mega city. We have some of those in America. Mega. One of them is being flooded today. Mega. Most of us are small town people or country people. That's why when we go on a mission trip to the villages or somewhere, we're comfortable. We know those people. If we had to go into a major, major city of China or Russia or some other major, India, and go to a major city, we'd feel like, oh my, I just feel intimidated. Jonah was a country boy. The Bible says he's from Mary Beth Heifer. And suddenly he's thrown into a city that's 3 days across just to walk it. By the way, how many people did God say, now, Jonah, I'm going to give you 6 months. I want you to get together a knockout prayer team and a marvelous track handing out team and an organizing team. And we're going to get you a prayer walking group. And we're going to send in a group, do follow-up. We're going to do some initial witness training of that group. And we feel like in about 6 or 8 months, if you get the right team and go in there and really just start block by block and area by area, over a period of time, that city is going to be changed. Is that what God did? Boy, Jonah, listen, I don't think Jonah was that great of a preacher. But I'll tell you, God is a great God, and he takes care of great cities with one man who says, I'm willing. Bible says it's a great city. What does that mean? It was great in art, great in culture, great in paganism, great in religion. Goodness, they had tons of religion like America. We got lots of religion. We just don't have much truth. It was a great city. It was a great city because ultimately it was God's city. You say, nuh-uh. Yes, it was. The earth is the Lord. See, every city, every person in every city, every pair of shoes, every place they put their foot, every house, it's all His. Well, no. Brother Nick, I'd argue with that. Let me give you an illustration. If I said to you this morning, I came in and, you know, I had a sport coat I wanted to wear and somebody stole that out of my car. Can I ask you a question? Whose coat is it? It's your coat. Well, no, it must not be. I don't have it. No, it's your coat. It just got stolen. Cities and counties and countries belong to God. They've just been taken over by an usurper called the Prince of the Power of Darkness. So whose city is Nineveh? Whose city is New York? Whose city is Washington and Boston? Whose city is Houston and Fort Worth? And whose city is Los Angeles and San Diego? My dad served a number of years in Hawaii. First as a pastor and then director of evangelism. I didn't know this till he moved over there, but when he never bought a home, we'd always lived in a pastorium, but when he moved to Hawaii, there wasn't a pastorium, so he had to buy a house. And he was ready to buy the house, but the realtor said, now, Dr. Garland, I need to tell you, you know in Hawaii, you don't buy the land. You lease the land. You buy the improvement. The land belongs to the state of Hawaii. No title deed will ever give you your land. You're leasing it, and then you buy the property on the fixture on it. You know what? I'm not buying any land here. You know why? It's already under a title deed. You don't think so? When I die, every bit of it goes back in the box. God says it's a great city because it's my city. It belongs to me, and I'm tired of it being under the bondage of another. If I just had one righteous messenger that tell them the truth, this city would be mine. Jonah didn't go because he hated Nineveh. He hated the people. See, they were mean. Jonah had heard for years from the Jews, those people, they're the worst people. Do you know what? They cut heads off of people. Well, they're violent. They look for opportunities to war. They hate people. They'll kill women and children. They need to all die. Let's nuke them. Today we have a little squatty guy about my physique in North Korea. Walks around, has everybody clap for him. You ever wonder why those halls are filled with people doing this? Because one person doesn't do it enthusiastically. He's out there out back dead. Don't think that all those people think he's the best thing since bacon. You don't clap, you don't live. Let me ask you, are there any babies in North Korea that not communists? There ain't little children that wouldn't know better? I think we ought to nuke them. You reckon there's any children born this weekend to ISIS? You think there's any young women maybe that have been raped by ISIS members that say they all ought to be nuked? Jonah? Why didn't Jonah want to go to Nineveh? I hate those people. They had nothing God to do to them. It'd be too good, too bad. Whatever he does, they deserve that and more. Anybody want to give a testimony of anybody we hate by whole groups? That doesn't happen in modern church, does it? Bible says he could not see or consider the innocents. Look with me real quickly in Jonah chapter 4. Look at this. The Bible says in Jonah chapter 4, it says, I know you're a merciful God. Look at the very bottom, verse 11. Chapter 4, verse 11, God said, Jonah, should I not care about the great city of Nineveh? Jonah, there are more than 120,000 people who cannot distinguish between their right and their left hands, as well as those who are the animal lovers, along with the animals. What group doesn't know their right from the left hand? A baby too young to even discern who you are that's holding me. Jonah, do you care? You don't care? Really? Bible says he knew God. And see, I want you to find your chapter 4, verse 10. Why didn't Jonah go? He hated Nineveh. Nineveh was cruel, and he couldn't see the innocence. But you know, so many people say, well, I just can't read the Old Testament. I just don't believe the God of the Old Testament is the same as God of the New Testament. He just might mean. He just murders people. There's no kindness in God's heart in the Old Testament. Really? You might ought to read it again slowly. Because this prophet, as rebellious and boneheaded as he is, look at his rationale. Chapter 4, verse 1. Why didn't Jonah want to go to Nineveh? Look at chapter 4, verse 1. Jonah was greatly angry. When God spared Nineveh, it made Jonah mad. He hated those people. He didn't want to preach to them. And then, lo and behold, God forgave him. And instead of saying, praise God, I've seen a mighty work of God, I knew that. That makes me so mad. Jonah was greatly displeased, angry with God, and became furious. He prayed to the Lord, Lord, now listen to this. This is 1-800-WHINE from a prophet. Listen to this. Lord, isn't this what I said while I was still over there in my own country? That's why I fled to Tarshish in the first place. I knew. This is a guy who had read the Old Testament, I guess, and found God merciful. I knew you were a merciful and compassionate God. How many people you know say, I can't read the Old Testament. That's just full of an angry God. Well, maybe I'd read Jonah. God, I knew if they took one step toward repentance and forgiveness, you'd show them mercy. Anybody here need forgiveness? And you won't take the first step? See, these pagans many times have more desire to get right with a God they don't know than you have a desire to get right with a God you've been hurt, you've been hearing about all your life. Look what he says. God, I knew you were a merciful and compassionate God, slow to become angry. In other words, if you hadn't, you'd killed him already. You're rich in faithful love, not just love, but a love that is faithful, even to those who reject you. Some of you here, a spouse had an affair, and you still love them and have forgiven them and restored your marriage. Have you ever committed adultery against God? Be careful how you answer you in church. Have you ever desired fellowship with something that was not of God more than you wanted God and been a spiritual adulterer? He said, God, you're not adulterous. You don't give us up just because we give you up. He said, you're a faithful, loving God, and you are one who relents from sending disaster. He knew God would spare them if they were repented. If they repented. Now, why did they do it? Well, earlier, just a short time earlier in history, Assyria suffered several significant military defeats. Their government had gone through some transitions and difficulties. Sounds like a nation I know. Internally, there was great strife because the Assyrian kingdom was not near what it used to be. It sounds like a nation I know. And so when you have a military that's now being whipped, and you have a government that's in great turmoil, you have people that are full of unrest and not settled, they're already concerned, I'm afraid our nation ain't going to make it. And here comes a guy. Now let me just remind you, Luke 19 says Jonah was assigned to the people in his day as Christ was assigned to the people now. A man named Rimmer, R-I-M-M-E-R, did a study some time ago because people have always said, oh, that's just a myth, all that stuff about Jonah and a big fish. That's a myth. By the way, it's a big fish, not a whale. That's just a myth. Well, a man named Rimmer, R-I-M-M-E-R, did a study of sailors and maritime history. And through the years, miraculously, strangely, there have been half a dozen to a dozen people that actually got swallowed by fish, and either the fish got washed up on shore and they cut it open, there's a man inside, or a man was later found inside the fish. But here's what they said. Mr. Rimmer in his study some years ago said, when these guys come out of the belly of that fish, the digestive juices have already gone to work on his flesh. And when he comes out, he is white, bleached white. Hair beginning to show signs of either falling out or bleached white on its way to falling out. Everything in him is almost albino white, bleach white. Here's Jonah gets thrown up on the beach, and he's now walking into Nineveh bleached. Can I remind you, the people in Nineveh were olive-skinned and some even black because that's the nature of that area. Here comes not just any white boy. Here comes a Cloroxed white boy. Repent! Yes, sir, right now. Buddy, they hit it, right? Would you? They'd never seen a guy, first of all, that pale, and secondly, when he wasn't dying, he was very much alive, saying, you better repent, 40 days, it's going to all collapse. And the Bible says from the king all the way down, they repented. Why? His very presence brought conviction from God. It's a sad day when people of God no longer bring conviction to their co-workers because we're so much like them. It's a sad day when our neighbors no longer see in us such a difference. They say, I've watched you, and you're not at all like we are, and I want what you have. Jonah didn't look like them. And they couldn't see his heart. His heart was still angry. He didn't want to be there, but he didn't want to go through another digestive process in the belly of a fish either. The Bible says he was assigned to his generation, and by the way, he finally did what God said, because you know what Romans said. How are they going to call on him in whom they've not believed? And how are they going to believe in him in whom they've never heard? And how in the world are they going to hear if they don't have a preacher? That's a good question. We don't get the gospel by osmosis. How are they going to hear? Jonah only had one mission. God said, deliver my message. We so often watch the temptations of Jesus in the New Testament, and we think, well, that's how Jesus was tempted, but we're not tempted that way. Don't kid yourself. The church of Jesus daily battles the same temptation Satan gave to Jesus. You say, how? What was the first temptation? Wouldn't you like to have this bread and eat it? Wouldn't that be good? Do you know we spend so much time? What organization on earth has done more to feed the hungry? What organization on earth has done more to care for the needs of the poor? What organization on earth through the centuries? You say, well, now I think the government does a lot. Government's only been in power in this nation for a short time. Pagan governments to this day, they don't reach out the way American people do to help the hurting physically. And if the church isn't careful, we can get so busy in bread and soup programs and clothing programs, benevolence programs, we don't remember that, wait a minute, our calling is not to give you bread to sustain you for a week. It's to give you living bread, to give you eternal life. Satan said, wouldn't you like to just get rid of that hunger? Let's have a meal right here. Who's going to know? Church can get so misdirected from our number one mission. What was the commission of Christ? You say, well, he said, I was hungry and you gave me meat. Yeah, he did, but he didn't say, make that the primary motive of the church. What is our primary mission? Tell everybody you know about a Savior they need. We can go like Jesus to a high mountain apart, and we can see all the kingdom and say, well, wouldn't it be better if we just kind of all assimilate? Let's don't be different. Good night. They laugh at us because we're just so different. Let's just kind of be like the world. We'll adopt this, and we'll adopt that, and we'll adopt this, and we'll be like this. And now we don't get too charged up about what the church is doing. Good night. No, we're much more broad-minded. Let's just assimilate all that stuff, and we'll be friendly to the world. I never dreamed I'd live long enough to hear churches adopt and promote immorality in the name of being relevant. Satan said, you can have all these kingdoms. They'll walk in peace with you. Listen, I didn't come to serve a Savior who walks in peace. He said, I didn't come to bring peace but a sword. Immorality is always on the radar of those who walk with Christ, because those who want to live in immorality will never live in peace with the gospel when they choose to live against the teachings and the life change of our master. So the church sometimes attempt to do bread programs, sometimes to do assimilation. And lastly, he said, look at it. You don't have to die. You can be popular. Aren't we there? You know, Church of Laodicea, Church of the People, let's get them in and assimilate them, and let's affirm them, and let's get them happy and jumping real high when they leave and say, oh, that was just so good. Have we done that pretty good? I think we're doing great at that. I think we're doing great. But is there enough salt in us when we leave to make one person thirsty in 7 days? I think the same temptations that hit Jesus, you pretty well come home to roost. Jonah just had one mission, and here was his mission. Tell them they better repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Am I speaking to somebody in the room? I'm not talking about them out there. I'm talking about me and us in here. George Sweeting tells a story. A man in 1949 named John Currier, C-U-R-R-I-E-R, he was convicted of murder, sentenced, and then later paroled to a farm, a work farm near Nashville, Tennessee, 1949. 1968, his sentence was commuted, and he was sent a letter, but he never got the letter. And so he continued to work just as if he was still under the condemnation of his government, still fulfilling his sentence on a very difficult work farm outside Nashville. And this is before the days of all the prison reforms. 10 years later, a parole officer is looking through some files trying to clean them up, and he found this note about John Currier, and he realized there's no further documentation. So he began to check, and he found that he's still at it 10 years after he was said, you're free. And when he finally took it to John Currier walked out a free man, and he could have been free 10 years sooner if somebody had just told him. We've heard the good news. We've experienced freedom through Christ. There's no other group responsible for proclaiming freedom to those who are still in the work farm of sin. So while we're doing all the other stuff, remember, there's no plan B. Why do we not go? Well, God, I knew you're going to be merciful, and I believe some point they'll repent. Well, you're not guaranteed a tomorrow. Well, God, I really don't like him. I got to just be, I don't like him. He didn't say what's your personal relationship. He's asking you, what is his relationship to me? And so the Bible says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. Get up, Jonah, and go to those people. And Jonah got up, and he went. What we're about to do, but you got a clear choice. I'm either going to go toward the call of God, or I'm going to flee from the presence of the Lord. Stand with me. Our father Jonah is a very clear picture of a man who not only is reluctant, he's downright rebellious, but then we understand that. We've heard the gospel now, most of us, since we were children. It's not that we complete ignorance. We know. And the Bible is just, it's downright blunt. When it says, don't just be hearers of the word, be doers. For one who's a hearer only is like one who looks at his face in a mirror and then turns away and does nothing. We know what we need to do. Now the question is, what will we do? There's some here that say, I need to walk toward Jesus in salvation. Father, bring them. There's some here that say, I desperately need to have my life transformed by his power. Then, Father, I can't change anybody. But right now, we can sure point folks to a master that's changed everybody who trusted him. I believe there's some in this room say, Brother Nick, I have never, ever been saved. I've never, ever been changed by Jesus. Then I want to ask you right now, step out from where you are and come right here to the altar. You say, Brother Nick, I've never done that. I know that, so today's the day. I challenge you today. Don't put it off another minute. You say, Brother Nick, I'm not a Christian. I've never trusted Jesus. You cannot plead ignorance if you know that you're a sinner and you know that Christ died for you to pay for your sin penalty. And if you repent of your sin, he's promised to forgive you and to change your life forever and give you a place in heaven. You say, I know that, but I've not done that. Then Jonah, are you going to flee from? Are you going to come to? I'm going to ask you right now, you don't know Christ, I'm going to ask you to join us at the altar. Pastors, if you're in the room, you come now and meet them. A lady is here to meet ladies. You come. Maybe it's baptism you need. Maybe it's church membership. If that's it, come now. You know what you need to do. May I talk to us as Christians? Any of us here heard from the Lord and not doing it? Any of us here know exactly what God has called us and wanted us to do for a long time, and we just bowed our necks and said, I'm not doing that. Anybody here? Sad thing about Jonah is even after God did a mighty work and still blessed his message, he was still mad at God. There's some people in this room mad at God. Well, Brother Nick, when he took my mama, I never got over it. You're the only person I know that ever had a mama die. I've never known anybody else's mama ever die, right? My mama died. I'm not mad at God. But you don't know what my daddy went through. You don't know what mine went through, and he died. I'm not mad at God. Anybody here just mad at God, even though he's blessed you, still mad? Don't you think it's time you give that up? I'm going to ask you today to do something bold. I'm going to ask you to come lay down all that grief and all that anger and animosity and all that guilt. I'm going to ask you to lay it down. I'm going to ask you to come back to your first love and reach out your hands like a little child. Say, Jesus, take me back. Please take me back. He's waiting on you. Will you come? Maybe some of you need to come right now with heads bowed, eyes closed. Just get on your face here in a kneeling bench. Say, God, take me. Father, you know every heart. I can't change a life, but I can point people in the direction. Best of my ability, I've described Jonah to us. Now the question is, what are we going to do? Be a Jonah and run from God and be bitter, or run to God and be blessed? Help us today to be obedient. In Jesus' name, amen. We're singing. Altar's open.